Be so kind as open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 11. That'll be our text this morning, John 11. And as we prepare, I do want to. How many of you have a bulletin this morning? So pretty much, if you don't have a bulletin, would you please get one? Because in the back, our pastor has written a very important message to you. Please do not read it during the service. Put it in the back of your Bible and read it afterwards. But I find that Pastor writes these all the time, and they're good reading, and he gives us some great wisdom in there. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about eternal life. And it was a lesson that I was going to teach this morning in Sunday school. So as I was preparing last night for my Sunday school lesson, I got a phone call around 7 o'clock at night. Pastor said, "Rosendo, I feel sick tonight. Got a fever. Don't think I'll be there in the morning." So my gears shifted from finishing up, and I did finish up my Sunday school lesson, got it all prepared for this morning. And went into the gear of preparing a message for Sunday morning. And I was able to coordinate them both together because although my message is titled Eternal Life, the Sunday school lesson was on death. And I'll get into that right after prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts this morning that we may learn of thee, that we may learn the importance of following thee, that we would learn the importance of being people that are after your heart, Lord. Guide and direct my thoughts this morning. Guide and direct the thoughts of your people here in this congregation, for I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, when we were talking about death, I started thinking a little bit about my life. And I started experiencing death when I was 4 years old. My brother, which was 6 years old, passed away. He was ill. He stepped on a nail and got lockjaw, something you don't hear of these days, but it was something that was quite common back in those days. He just got hurt, and he didn't want to tell anybody until it was too late. And so he passed away. And when I was about six, my grandmother died. And then when I was about eight, my uncle died. And my family members have been dying. And I have come from 11, a family of 11, brothers and sisters, six sisters, five brothers, and now there's four of us left. And by the time I reached 60 years old, we had come down to four. And so in the last 8 years, I've been fortunate. None of my family members have passed. In the first 60 years of my life, I had a lot. Before I was 20 years old, my dad passed. So I understood death, but I didn't understand the consequences of death. And so this morning, I want to share with you some of the things that the Bible talks about, heaven, life, and death. Most of my family were saved and are in heaven. And my siblings all are, and my father and mother are. Although it was late in life for them, but they are. And so the book of Genesis is a book of many good beginnings, starting with God's creation. And that's us. But tragically, the start of sin started in Genesis, and its penalty, which was death. And so we were meant to have eternal life. Adam and Eve were never meant to die. And death in the Bible talks about separation from God. And so that was a problem because God never meant for man to be separated from him. But here man had a problem, and God had to give us a solution. And so I want to read in John 11, 1 through 15, and then we're going to continue the message. And I will be in this book all the way through until near the end, which we will get out of it and go into other books. But this is the main text. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." So this was someone that Jesus was familiar with. He knew the family there. In fact, Lazarus was someone that he really cared for. When he had heard See, I might have missed her. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So there was a plan. Jesus knew what it was, and Jesus knew what was going to happen. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he that was sick, that he was sick, he abode 2 days. Knew he was sick, he still stayed 2 extra days. Now you may say, well, shouldn't he be rushed off? But Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew there was a plan, and he knew what he had to do. 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? He wasn't going anywhere safe. He was going somewhere he's going to put his life in danger. But that's not why he delayed 2 days. He wasn't scared. He wasn't worried about that. But he knew what he was going to do. And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, "O Lord, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Most of the time you think when someone is asleep and they're sick, that's good for them. They didn't understand that Lazarus was not asleep. Lazarus was dead. Jesus knew that. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." So Jesus had a plan. He let him know that Lazarus had died. He knew that Lazarus, his friend, was dead. Jesus knew he was going to perform a miracle. And there was a reason for this miracle. It was not an accident that this happened. It was not for show. But Jesus was in no hurry. When he said that Lazarus sleeping, he knew that he was dead. No doubt in his mind. He knew that Lazarus was dead and in the tomb. He was doing this so that many would believe and be saved. Often we look at Jesus and wonder, why would he voluntarily walk that path with the cross and suffer that cruel death? And it was for you and me so that we would live. That's why Jesus did that. And so in this story, as we continue in verse 20, we skip a few verses, go down to verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. See, Martha was the most vocal one. She wanted to get out there. She said, Jesus is coming. And he's going to be able to fix this. Didn't know how, but she knew he would. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." She had that much confidence in him that if only Jesus had hurried up, Lazarus would still be alive. She still didn't understand. See, we don't understand. We see part of the picture. There's many things in the Bible that we don't understand. We're told that when we die, we're instantly in heaven. We don't understand how that works. But do I have to understand how that works? I just know that Jesus said, that's where I'm going to be. So I'm going to trust him and believe him. It's a lot of your faith. But I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She knew that Jesus was the Son of God, and she knew that Jesus could actually pray to God, and God would give him whatever he wanted. And Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And automatically, she just said, "Well, yeah, I understand that. I know he's going to rise again. So if you tell me I'm going to die, yeah, I know I'm going to rise again." And I trust that if you're a Christian, you understand that you will rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? He gave her a question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that I am the life and the resurrection? That if you put your trust in me, that if you believe me, you will live again. Martha wanted to know why Jesus didn't hurry. She was more concerned about why he didn't hurry than what he was going to do. You know, if you would have got here, he would have never died. Why wasn't she concerned? Now that you're here, what are you going to do? And sometimes in our Christian life, when we're in a situation, we don't look to see what God is going to do. We look to see what we're going to do. How am I going to handle this problem? Then this bright idea comes in our head. We say, I will pray about it. Well, why did we pray about it to begin with? And sometimes we look at the Bible and say, well, what's wrong with those folks? But are we really any different than they are? Is it sometimes our thought process just like theirs, and we think, why can't they see this? So that Lazarus wouldn't have to die. They believed in Jesus and knew there was a resurrection, but they still didn't want to die. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, Lord, whatever it takes, we'll do, short of death. You know, Peter told God, I'll die with you. He told Jesus, you know, when they were on the way to the cross, they'll have to kill me along with you. And then where was he at? In the shadows. And it's a shame that there are people that will say, Jesus, I'll take that walk with you, but I won't show my face on Sunday morning. I won't go out on visitation. I won't tell others about what you've done for me. But I'll die with you. Jesus gave her the gospel in verse 26. Believeth thou this? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But you know, the fact is, if you don't believe in him, you're still going to live. Here you're going to spend an eternity in hell. There is no death, but the biblical sense of the word death, which is separation from God. But you will either spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And you know, sometimes we don't like to give that a thought when we neglect to tell our loved ones, oh, they'll just laugh at us. They'll make fun of us. You know, when they're out there having their party and we're invited, we refuse to take a stand. Say, I'm different. Do your relatives know that you're different? Do they see a change in your life? Is there something about you that they want to know? Or are you just like them? And so, here we are. We have this situation. And Martha's questioning Jesus. I think I would have been amazed and would want to know what. Okay, you're here. What are you going to do? Curiosity. What's going to happen next? Let's see what's going to happen. But I'm human too. I probably would ask them, hey, what took you so long? Instead of wondering, what are you going to do in our life? And sometimes we look at our own life and we think, well, okay, God, you're a little late this morning. I'm going to have to take this in my own hands. And since I got a late start this morning, I'm just going to head off to work. I've spent no time talking to you. I'm going to make that important life decision without ever talking to you. I'm going to let my kids and my wife go out in this world and never ask your advice. But God, I trust you. Well, what do you trust them with? If you can start your day without talking to him, who are you really trusting? And so it's something to give it thought. And then Jesus said in verse 39, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. She was more concerned about what the presence was than what he was going to do. Did she not think that he knew that? You know, sometimes when we go door knocking, you never know who's going to open that door on the other side. Most of us, including me, yeah, we're afraid of someone saying, what are you doing on my front porch? Why don't you just get off and go about your business? But we should be wondering about, what if someone opens that door and it has happened more than once to me? You know, I was waiting for someone to come tell me about Jesus. And then we're ashamed because we were so afraid. How many times did we not knock? Or we were handing out tracts. That person just looks mean. I've had people come up to me in the apartment buildings and say, why did you leave this trash on my door? Well, I'm sorry, sir. I don't consider it trash, but if you're offended, I'll take it back. Well, you shouldn't be knocking on my door and leaving this kind of stuff on my door. Well, I didn't mean to offend you, sir, but it is good news. And I'm concerned about your eternity. Well, I'm not concerned about my eternity. One day he will be. And then it will be too late. Because he'll never be able to say, no one told me. No one tried to tell me. And you might be sitting in this auditorium this morning wondering, oh, is that what they were talking about? Or, you know, I really should have taken the time to give that person that track. I don't know how they would have reacted. Most of the time it's, thank you. And they take it. Whether they read it or not, that's not my job. My job is to present it to them. So in verse 39 it says, in verse 40 it says, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? He was going to show them a miracle. He was there to do something. They were concerned about the stink. They weren't concerned about the miracle. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou heareth me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. They may not believe that Jesus sent you. And you may have to tell them that here's my Bible, here's this verse. And Jesus told them, I am the Son of God. And they should have known that. But they refused to believe who he was. And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. It took this miracle for those people to believe on him. God's not going to do that today. I'm not going to be able to stand at a graveside and say, come forth. And that person's going to come out of that casket. It's just not going to happen. One thing, I'm not Jesus. But he had that power. He didn't say it twice. He said it once. And there was never a doubt in his mind that Lazarus was going to come back to life. He knew that 4 days earlier when he was told that Lazarus was sick, what he was going to do. He understood that he was going to have to call him out of the grave. And he knew that he was going to wake up. A little earlier in verse 35, we see Jesus' humanity as he wept. Yes, Jesus cried. Not because he thought that Lazarus would never be seen again, but because Martha and Mary were crying. And that was his friend. And he was dead. And he knew he was going to bring him back to life. So when I see people shed tears at funerals, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't shock me. I've shed tears at funerals, and I continue to do so. 4 days in the tomb, and all Jesus had to do was call his name. 4 days dead, all he had to do was call his name. Came back to life. The purpose was that God would be glorified and that many would believe on him. That's what it took for these people to actually believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Perform a miracle. So the question is, why doesn't God just perform miracles and scare people into salvation? I can guarantee you right now, if I took you over to the cemetery and you said, hey, I want that person out of the grave, and I said, come up, and they came up, you'd believe whatever I told you. You'd be scared to death. Well, why doesn't God do that? Because God gives us a choice. He gave us a free will that we could choose. I tell people God didn't want robots. If he wanted robots, he would have made robots. But he gave us all a free will. That's why he doesn't do it. But there's also another reason. We find that reason in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, so that we have all sinned. We're sinners. We can't go to heaven. We're unclean. There is nothing we can do. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how hard you work at the church. I don't care how many tracts you pass out. You can never pay for your sin. I'm a sinner. And I know I'm a sinner. And the only way I'm going to get into heaven, if someone pays a price. That's why God doesn't scare people into heaven. There's a price to be paid. But I got good news for you. The price was paid. Price was paid on Calvary when Jesus said, it is finished. There's nothing else to do. There is nothing you can do. You just have to believe and trust in him. That's all you have to do. It's not that complicated. That payment required a perfect, sinless sacrifice. And Jesus paid the price and solved the problem for all mankind. That's why God doesn't scare people into heaven. I would think that if God decided that he wanted to put a finger in the sky and they could see a hand and it wrote, repent or go to hell, people would try to explain that. And they would explain it to a lot of people. If all of a sudden people came out of the grave and talked to them, they would find a reason for that. I don't think that people would get scared into heaven. I don't think they were scared in the heaven. They saw a miracle. And they seen who performed it. Well, he performed a miracle also. He died on the cross. Not only did he die, he was buried. Not only was he buried, he rose again. That was a miracle. And so that's why we can go to heaven. No other reason. Nothing I can do or say or will I ever be able to do that I can do that. He solved the problem. Then in 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says a solution. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We're going to die because of Adam. But if you're going to be made alive, it's going to be through Jesus Christ. Nothing you can do. Now, you may think that you're so good that you've never sinned. When you told your first little lie, that you probably don't even remember what it was, you were condemned to death. When Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, the price was paid for my sin. This is not an automatic pass into heaven. You may think, well, he died. He rose again. That means he died for all mankind. He did. There's something you must do. You must believe in Jesus and trust him for your salvation. Because if you say, I believe that Jesus was alive, the Bible tells you even the demons know that Jesus existed. And they're not going to heaven. So in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus gave you a solution for our problem. He died on the cross. He gave us everlasting life. So I say this to you. I look forward to that day when I meet Jesus face to face. That would be a glorious day. You know, I often thought, what am I going to ask Jesus? How did you turn that water into wine? How did you bring Lazarus up? What kind of chariot did Elijah really ride up into heaven? What happened to Enoch? Did he just walk and was gone? You know, I don't think any of that's going to be really important to me. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? What's going to be important is that I get to see my Savior face to face. That day is coming for me because I've put my faith in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that, what are you waiting for? He paid the price. He did all the work. He did everything for you. All you got to do is trust him. You'll sit in that chair this morning and not one of you came in this morning, picked the chair up, turned it up, checked all the legs, check the back to make sure it would support you. Not one of you did that. And yet you sat on it. And there are people in this world that will say, I can't trust Jesus for my salvation. Yet they'll sit down in that chair. That chair did nothing for me. That chair's not going to get me in heaven. It may give me a rest for a moment. But for eternity, Jesus is going to give me life. And so whether it be in the rapture or in death, I know that my Redeemer liveth. No doubt in my mind. And so I've often told my wife, and we've often joked about this, and it really isn't any joke. You know, when my days of serving are over, I want them to close that casket. I don't want to stop serving while I'm still breathing. And why do I say that? Because I owe my Redeemer a price. He loved me enough. Will I love him back? And we often think, will you love your Jesus like he loved you? Will you love him enough to tell others of the price that he paid? Do you love him enough to serve him however he asks you to? You know, we read in 1 Corinthians 15:51, so that you know that it's no joke. It's no fairy tale. This is what the Bible says. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I'm going to get a new body, one that doesn't hurt. There'd be no pain in it. My back will be fixed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. I will live forever. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death won't matter. Death won't scare me. Death won't be a problem. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. Then in verse 58 it says, and this is crucial to remember, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What that is telling you, while you are waiting for that trumpet to sound, don't be caught sleeping. Be about your master's business. You know, I tell people, when the rapture occurs, I hope it's a Sunday morning at 11:15, because I know where I'm going to be at. Or Wednesday night at 7:15. I know where I'm going to be at. Sadly, some people can't tell you where they're going to be at. You know, when my relatives forget and call me at 11:15 on Sunday morning, I'm sure they say, when my voicemail comes on, oh, he's not going to answer his phone. He's in church. And most of my friends that know me well enough will say, oh, he's in church. What does your family say about you when you don't pick up your phone at 11:15? What do your friends say about you? Do they say he's in church, or maybe he's sleeping late because it is Sunday morning? It is the only, in fact, it's the only day I get to rest. Really? Is it the only day you get to rest? That you can't be in church? So verse 58 is a good reason to continue to serve as God is faithful. So should we be in serving Him. And I shared with a young man not that long ago, we were talking about doing good. And I said, so when is it good to do good? And so I got him to agree that going to church was good. Does anybody here tell me that not going to church is good? Going to church is good, right? We all agree on that? You know what the Bible says about good? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, if you're not here on Sunday morning, and you know it's good, then you're purposely sinning. And you may not want to think, oh no, I'm not purposely sinning, God. I really have a reason for not being there. Is going to Sunday school good? Yes. So if you're not in Sunday school, what are you doing? If you're not on visitation, is visitation good? Yes. So if you don't do it, if handing out tracts is good, is it not sin when you don't do it? You know how many times I've been called by my family and says, will you go visit so-and-so and see if they'll accept Jesus Christ? And those are my relatives that won't darken the doorway of a church. But they don't want their loved ones to die and to go to hell. Because they may have made that decision to be saved, they just don't live like it. Do they ask you to go pray with them? And if they don't, why don't they? What is your testimony telling these folks? And so I'd kind of like to end with this. And it's Revelation 20:11, because this day is coming. And it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in it, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And the dead and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know, we'll be witnesses to that if you're saved, because the Bible says, "And so we will be with God forever." And if we're going to be with God forever, we will be there when this book of life. Now, we're not going to be judged. There's no judgment for the saved, but we'll be there to witness this. And who will you see cast in the lake of fire and say, "I wish I would have told him"?